Good evening. My name is Ken Shigematsu. I'm also one of the pastors here at 10th. I am not from rural Georgia, like my colleague Ken Pierce. I'm originally from Japan, but I'm really from Vancouver via New York City and England. What do you want for Christmas? Now you can answer out loud if you want. Turn to the person beside you or talk to me directly, as my nephew did it during the service that preceded this one. What do you want for Christmas? That's probably a question that you've asked people in your world, that you've asked family members. I've asked my wife, what do you want for Christmas? We've asked our six-year-old son, Joe, what do you want for Christmas? A kind of a dangerous question to ask. You've asked friends that question. You've asked special people in your life, what do you want for Christmas? My mentor, Leighton Ford, asked the question on his blog, what does God want for Christmas? We've got an answer right here. Can you interpret that for us, Mama? What does God want for Christmas? World peace? A holy life? The Canucks to finally win the Stanley Cup? Some of you here are atheists, and if the Canucks won the Stanley Cup, you would become agnostics. Some of you are agnostics. If the Canucks won the Stanley Cup, if that miracle came about, you would believe in a higher power. What does God want for Christmas? Of course, one of the ways that we find out what a person wants for Christmas or at some other time of the year is by looking at how they express their gratitude and love for other people. If a person expresses their care for someone through a really thoughtful note on a card, it may be a sign that the way they like to receive love is through some kind of thoughtful affirmation that's written down. Or if a person loves to go shopping online or in a store and find the perfect gift for someone in their life, that may be a sign that they would really appreciate it if you would find the perfect gift for them, a gift that they would really delight in. If a person seems to go around hugging everyone in their world or lots of people in their world, that is a sure indicator that their, quote, language of love is hugs. And even if you are from a more reserved culture like my own, Japan, it's a good idea to hug that person. They'll feel loved instead of bowing. So what does God want for Christmas? One of the clues that we receive comes from the Christmas story. 2,000 years ago, that first Christmas, the all-powerful God, the invisible mystery, becomes visible, becomes a human being, a baby that is pink and wrinkly and wet and placed into an apple box and given the name Jesus. You see, the gift that God gave us the first Christmas was not a present with a T, not something from Walmart or Best Buy. The gift that God gave us that first Christmas was the gift of his presence with a C. In fact, in the Gospel of Matthew, we read that one of the names given to Jesus when he was an infant was the name Emmanuel, which simply means God with us. What does God want for Christmas? What he gave us. He gave us his presence, and what he wants from us is our presence. If you were to ask me the question, what is the greatest gift that you've ever given? I don't know what the answer would be for sure, but one of the best gifts I think I've ever offered, I gave back in 1999. I was a fairly new pastor here at 10th, and an acquaintance moved from Japan to Vancouver to study at one of our schools. And one day, she told me that a mutual friend of ours in Japan really wanted to see me and discuss something important in his life. But she reassured me that she told him that there's no way I could see him because I was way too busy. Well, I took that as a challenge. I called my friend. I said, "Do you want to talk?" He said, "Yes. There's something really important on my heart that I want to share with you." And in Japanese culture, when you need to discuss something really important, you don't do it over the phone, you don't do it over Skype, you go and you meet the person face to face. And so I fly from Vancouver to Tokyo to spend 6 days with my friend. We met when we were in our early to mid-20s. We were both starting out in our respective careers. My friend ended up doing really well in business, and so he took me to this really exclusive resort on an island in Japan, the kind of place where you need a private boat to get to or a helicopter. It's not accessible, unfortunately, to the public. Someone asked after the first service. The most beautiful resort I've ever been to. And I remember how we sat outside the hotel in one of these natural hot springs called onsens in Japan. They're made of rock, and there's this natural hot, water that's emerging from the ground. And we looked across, we saw the sea, and on the other side of the sea, we saw this unobstructed view of Mount Fuji. It was just stunning. And my friend so appreciated the gift of my presence, and I was truly grateful for the gift of his presence. And though this was not the agenda when I went to Japan, he ended up giving me a really great surprise gift. He introduced me or reintroduced me to the love of my life, my future wife. So that was really big, obviously. That would be a different story. What does God want most for Christmas? God wants the gift that he gave you, the gift of your presence. Now, we just sang a song, the first Noel, that described how the three wise men, popularly known, or the three kings, gave Jesus, the infant, tangible gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But these gifts were symbolic. Jesus was just a baby, and yet, according to the scriptures, he was a king. In fact, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The gold symbolized the fact that Jesus was royalty, though born in a stable, in a cattle feeding trough. The frankincense was an incense used in the ancient world to worship the gods. And though Jesus Christ was a human being, he was God as a human being. He was deity, he was divine. And so he was worthy of our worship, and hence the incense, the frankincense. And then finally, the myrrh was this fragrant ointment used in the ancient world to prepare a body for its burial after death. And that gift suggested that though Jesus was still an infant when he received that gift, that one day at age 33, after having lived a perfect life, he would die this very important death on a Roman cross, absorbing our sins and our shame into his body so that we might be forgiven of our sins, cleansed, and enter into the joy of God's presence. And so what is the greatest gift that we can give to God this Christmas? It's the gift he gave us. It's the gift of our presence. There was a guy named Nicholas Herman, who was born centuries ago into a poor family. He received no formal education, eventually became a servant. He was a simple, humble man. And one day this servant named Nicholas was looking at a tree in the dead of winter. And he looked at the bare branches and he thought to himself, in the spring, this tree will grow leaves. And Nicholas thought, if God would do that for a tree, surely he would do it for me as a human being. And he was so deeply moved by God's care and his power that in that moment, while looking at that tree, Nicholas gave his life to God and entered into a monastery where he became a dishwasher in the monastery for the rest of his life. In the monastery, he was renamed Lawrence. When Lawrence died, some of his friends took some of his letters and some of his musings in his journals. He never intended to write a book, of course, but they put it together and they published a very thin volume that was called The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. It is considered, with the exception of the Bible, the most widely read book in human history. more widely read than Harry Potter or The Hunger Games. Very impressive. All from a simple, uneducated dishwasher. You see, you don't need to have a PhD in theology or Bible to offer God the gift of your presence. You could be a dishwasher. You could be a mother of young children. You could be a doctor. You could be a construction worker. You could be a CEO. You could be a cook in a kitchen. You could be a student. All you need, like Brother Lawrence, to offer God the gift of your presence is desire to do so. And that's what God wants from you and me. He wants the gift that he gave us. He wants the gift of our presence. I sense that's what he wants from me. And so I've been praying recently, God, give me more and more desire to seek you. I want to offer more of the 86,400 seconds in my day to you. And if you're here and you're not sure that you believe in God, why not pray, God, if you're out there, if you're up there, give me a desire to seek you. Because Christmas shows us that the gift God gave us was the gift of his presence. And the gift that God wants from us is the gift of our presence to him. He wants the gift of you, and he wants the gift of me. Let's pray together. We're on the eve of Christmas. Soon we'll be looking at a new year. And if in the coming year you would like to give God the gift that he most wants from you, not a present with a T, but your presence, then why not simply pray, God, give me the desire to seek you more and more. God will answer that prayer. And if you pray that prayer, as the spring rolls around and the leaves grow on the trees and the cherry blossoms bloom, you can look at those trees and say, what God did for that tree, God shall surely do for me. He'll make your life beautiful. So offer him your heart. Offer him your presence. Yeah, you can too. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.